The Morrison government has again appealed to our sense of civic duty to download this rapid tracing app to combat the coronavirus. Obviously, we all want these restrictions to end, but many of us still have questions, and it's always beneficial to hear from some experts, as the more informed we are, the more comfortable we'll feel about our own decisions. So if you have a question or an issue, 1300 222 891, or you can SMS me on 0467 922 891. Stilgarian is a freelance internet and technology writer, and he joins me first. Welcome, Stilgarian.
Hello again, Jules.
So this tracing app, let's first talk about where it's being made. It's being made in Singapore, is that right?
Well, what we're getting in Australia is based on what was developed for Singapore, and it's being modified. We don't know to what extent. I mean, is this like a 10% change, you know, just knock it around a bit for Australian conditions, or is it a kind of complete rewrite and the only thing that stays the same is maybe the are you within 2 metres for more than 30 minutes or whatever it is thing. So we don't know that yet, but yes, broadly speaking, it starts off with the Singapore one as opposed to the Korean one or the Chinese one or whatever.
I did some research on this, and still only around 20% of Singaporeans have downloaded this app, Stilgarian.
Yeah, that's the figure that's been kicked around, and no one's issued an update from that. That actually surprises me, because I would have thought that in Singapore, complying with government orders is much more part of the culture than perhaps here in Australia. Maybe that figure's out of date, because we have seen like an increase more recently amongst the immigrant worker population. I mean, in COVID-19 infections. So maybe people have lifted the game a bit. It'll be interesting to see what happens in Australia. The government's telling us we need at least a 40% take-up rate, and that's a lot.
In the Netherlands, they've trialled 7 designs of this app, and they all failed the sniff test on privacy grounds. Like, the Netherlands government isn't going through with it. What are the issues? Why is it so hard to protect privacy but also promote public health?
The rules are a little tougher in Europe. Under EU privacy law, medical data, any personal data, can only be disclosed if it's absolutely necessary. So to get a system that says, okay, this person's phone was close to that person's phone for a certain period, and now one of those people has tested COVID-19 positive, so we now want to kind of join the dots without either of those people having their identities revealed to each other, their location not recorded, the data only being available to the health authorities but not to the police. It's a really tough problem. It's really hard to get right. And writing this sort of complex software in a short amount of time is obviously full of risk. Software can have mistakes in it, bugs. And I guess it makes sense for Australia to at least start with the Singaporean option. Because an important part of what Singapore has done, they have published the program source code on the internet for anyone to have a look at, which means anyone can say, wait, you've made it, you know, this bit here needs fixing. So we have seen a promise in Australia now that the source code will be made available for the Australian version as well. But, you know, we've had the story change back and forth a bit on a number of things here, so let's wait and see.
Lots of comments coming through on the text line. One like this: they had me right up until they mentioned the word Amazon. Cheers, won't be downloading it now. Now, this is what we've learnt today, that they'll be storing the data in the USA. Correct me if I'm wrong. Amazon will be storing the data.
That's right. So Amazon is, of course, an American company. It operates globally, but they have data centres all around the world, including here in Australia. And it's very easy to set up for the data to only stay within Australia. What's more, the Amazon Cloud, Amazon Web Services that will run this, has already been certified by the Australian Signals Directorate, our spy agency like the NSA, but they also do security testing. It can already hold government data to what's called the protected level, the first level of security before you get up to the top secrets and all of that. And that is pretty much what you should be storing medical data on. So
could you use an Australian company to do it?
Well, there's been a bit of there's been a bit of a pushback from some Australian companies saying, "Oh, we weren't approached." And there are Australian companies that do this purely for Australia. There's been a bit of a complaint. The tender was put out by the Department of Homeland Security. That's the American one. You know who I mean.
Yes.
The Department's Department. What a thing to forget. But they put the contract out, and it was a limited tender, and the Australian companies didn't find out about that. Now the project's moved over to the Department of Government Services with Stuart Robert as the minister, and he's just said, "Well, I don't know, that was another department. Is that we're doing it now? So what? We can't comment on their procurement." I will say, though, that Amazon and Google are the two biggest players on the planet in this regard, and they are very highly experienced at scaling up to a massive thing. Remember, if we do get 40% of the take-up, that's going to be something like 10 million phones around Australia.
Yeah.
Connecting to this thing. It needs to be pretty robust.
Well, I've got some questions for you in a sec still, Garen, so I'll come back. But I'd like to now introduce you to John Coyne. He's the head of Strategic Policing and Law Enforcement at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. He joins me. Welcome, John.
Hi, Jules.
John, I was disturbed to hear, like many of us, that the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Nick Coatsworth, had revealed that the government has knocked back requests from law enforcement agencies for added capabilities to this tracing app. Should we be concerned about that?
Look, the long and short of that is no. I mean, for me personally, I'm very, very surprised. And, you know, if indeed they did ask for additional functionality to be placed in there, it was really just poor decision-making for whatever law enforcement agencies were involved. Mm. This app is not, and I've picked up the floor, you know, it's the same as I really believe Home Affairs should never have been engaged in the procurement process for this. It is not a national security software program or application. This is all about health and not about law enforcement or national security.
So should we be concerned that Amazon, and many people on the text line seem to, which is a US company, is going to be storing the data? I mean, we were told to be very concerned about Huawei, which was a Chinese company building, you know, 5G towers in Australia because it'd be subject to Chinese government laws and our data could be invaded, yet somehow that doesn't apply to Amazon, a US company. Well, how do you resolve that, John?
Look, first and foremost, I think it's really important to make a clear statement, which is that the US and Australia are in a close alliance. We've been sharing highly classified intelligence between our nations and been allies for, you know, near on 100 years. We've fought in various conflicts together. And they're a trusted friend and ally. In contrast, and they share many of the same principles and values that we do. In contrast, that can't be said for the Chinese government. That can't be said also for the way they Chinese government-owned corporations operate and their ability and that they can actually be compelled on occasions to provide information.
So, John, there's been pushback about this app around the world. Do you think that governments will be able to convince their populations that the potential risks that you're saying aren't great risks will be less than the benefits of this app? I mean, how does the government go about, you know, convincing a nation?
Well, look, I think, you know, number one is my personal viewpoint. I hope that they're able to convince people to get 40% of Australians to use the application. I very much doubt that they will. It's a sad indictment on the fact that the lack of trust in government that's present in the current age, across most Western liberal democracies, in fact. And that's very disappointing. The other issue is, and it's a strange one, I don't think people really appreciate, I guess, the scale of what COVID-19 is globally. Mm. You know, where you've got, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 people dying a day across the globe, you know, millions infected. You know, we're in extraordinary times. So the question I have is that, you know, quite often, no matter what app is put up, you're going to have to, the general public are going for a period of time, give up some degree of
their freedom.
Yeah. And the cost of that is other people's lives. That's why we're doing it.
So do you think you have to take politics out of it? Because when I'm looking at the text line, people are saying, well, yeah, Amazon, we might have a good relationship with the USA, but Donald Trump is president. Or we might say that there's going to be no privacy interventions here, but we've, you know, seen Peter Dutton or the AFP go into, you know, raid various journalists' offices and homes. Do you think we need to take the politics out of this and concentrate on the health aspects of it, John?
Look, absolutely. For me, I'm a national security practitioner, but I think it's not a national security issue. Some of the second order impacts of it are and how it will change the world. But this is all about health. Now, I think that government should make, and which they have done, two things. They should make a very clear statement and put a sunset clause on this. And so this, when this app will be turned off and what will happen to the data. And secondly, they need to make very clear statements, which they've done over the last, I think, the last 12 hours at least. And Christian Porter has said as much as well, which is, you know, we will not use this for any other purpose.
Mm. I want to take a couple of tech questions back to Stilgherrian, John. Stilgherrian, John says that there's a sunset clause. If you do have an app like this and it reaches, you know, the end of its useful life, let's just dream about COVID-19 being a thing of the past. I mean, can you delete all of it? I mean, I've always heard that you can delete things, but you can always just reactivate them again, Stilgherrian. How confident can we be in a tech sense that it is deleted permanently, the information they've gathered?
Well, yeah, there's two questions there. One is the tech sense. The other is the operational sense. So we haven't seen the legislation yet. There's going to be a day of federal parliament sitting in May to run through this and do all of the legal framework under which this operates, and then you'll have operational rules. So that's one thing. On the technical side, sure, you can delete apps from phones and the data can be deleted with it. You're probably thinking, Jules, of the idea that when you used to delete a file from your hard drive, well, you could then go and undelete it.
Yeah, yeah.
which can still be a thing. Mobile phone systems, whether it's Apple's ones or Google's Android, actually are much better at deleting data and making sure it's deleted. I'm pleased that the Australian Signals Directorate is involved in the vetting and analysis of the app we're building, because if, you know, those very smart men and women, if they're told that the app is meant to delete data when it says delete it, then they'll be making sure that it does.
And another quick question before we get to call, Stilgherrian. You know, when we went to do the census online, it crashed. I think when people went to sign up for Centrelink, it crashed. I mean, how confident can we be that when we do all sign up for this, or if we do, that when we need to trace contracts, that it's going to work?
The short answer is that the back-end isn't going to be the Australian government. It's going to be Amazon.
Okay. So. All right, which is probably why they're involved. Let's get to some calls. Ben has called on 1300 222 891. Hi, Ben.
Good afternoon. I was going to be happy to download the app and then delete it once the whole thing's over. But now knowing what we know about where the data is going to be stored, I'm not real keen on it now.
Is it because it's Amazon, Ben?
Yeah, because it's overseas.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Ben. I'll take that back to Stilgherrian and John Coyne shortly. But Phil has called. Phil Kalogaros. He's an internet management and occasionally talks to Sonia in the afternoons. Hi, Phil.
Good afternoon. Look, firstly, I'm really want this app to work. I think, you know, we're at a place in human history. We've got this really clever bit of technology that can do stuff for us. But for the app to work, people have got to have trust in the government in doing this, and there is none out there, either in the wider community or in the tech space.
Well, why do you say that? Because I mean, the government has handled this medical crisis pretty well so far.
They've handled the medical crisis reasonably well, but their history when it comes to digital data and law and things like that is pretty abysmal.
Are you talking about metadata and things?
We can start with metadata. We can go back 20 years looking at attempts to do internet censorship. But if you look at metadata, stuff coming out of Home Affairs was this is for terrorism and for kiddie porn, and we end up with the Greyhound Racing Authority using warrantless searches to go after people's data. We've got the AA bill, which makes moot any reassurance that people say, well, this data only lives on your phone unless you get the virus and then upload it to the cloud. The fact that it's going to AWS, I'm actually reasonably sanguine with that and happy with that, because they will store the data in Australia, but AWS is an American company and they have their own version, not as strong as ours, but their own version of the AA bill. So unless we build a very, very, very strong ring fence around this legislatively, which amends the AA bill, that amends the metadata bill, that specifically makes an offence for an Australian agency to tap a US agency and say, hey, give us the data. No one's going to have any trust in it.
Let me take that back to John Coyne, because we're going to have to wrap this very shortly. John, Phil raised some good points, you know, about metadata and, you know, some of the privacy issues the government has had. And many people keep coming back, like the first caller, John, to Amazon, seeing it as an overseas entity. And that is, they were going to download it, now they're not, because Amazon is involved, which might be a cosmetic thing, but it seems to be an important thing for a lot of listeners, John.
Look, I think it is, but I also think we need to put some things into context here. It's amazing who we will and won't trust, okay? So here's a good example. So Pokemon Go, phone-based game.
You've really got on a tangent. I'm hooked now, yes?
No, but look, you know, about 50% of Australians went and played that, downloaded it on their phone and played it.
Yeah.
Now, that data, that company, if you look at the privacy statement, they actually use all manner of things to track and trace players around the place. So they collect data all the time. 50% of Australians were happy to sign up and give that over, not knowing what their data was doing or who was using it. And they were like, that was actually tracking people and tracking their location in real time. What we're talking about here is an extension of a process that already happens. So, for instance, if you get the COVID virus and you are found to have it, and test it, a government person will come out to you and say, who have you been in contact with over the last couple of weeks? And you'll go through and list, and you're compelled to go through and list them and tell them exactly who you've been in contact for 15 minutes or longer with. We seem to be really uncomfortable, and it seems strange and arguing about, you know, I mean, when we talk about Amazon, large numbers of people use Amazon's services and freely provide data. As your caller said, you know, there's a lot of confusion in this because, you know, Amazon will most likely store all of this, and still Gary said this as well, it will store in Australia. It won't be stored internationally, plus it's on a secure... I think a lot of it comes down to this trust factor and the gap with government.
Well, just to get to one more call before we wrap, Russell has called. Hi, Russell.
Good, Mary Morrow. How are you, Jill?
Oh, good. I'm good. Thank you. What's your issue?
Public health is far more important than any of those other issues. My concern is who controls it, because just as an example, I'm seriously out of pocket at the moment because Virgin Australia's computer system wouldn't allow me to change flights. I had to book a new flight. I couldn't do it on their telephone system because their whole telephone network was in the Philippines, and the Philippine government said, you guys can't go to work today.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden we had a service that everyone said was wonderful, but we didn't control it. So if the Australian government doesn't control this system onshore, then what guarantee that someone's not going to switch it off tomorrow?
Well, I'll take that to Stilgarian as we wrap. The final question from Russell, will it be controlled in Australia by Australian Stilgarian? Because whether that works in a tech sense or not, I think it would make Australians feel a hell of a lot more comfortable en masse.
Sure. Look, the data is held in Australia. That's as simple as that. It's being held in a facility that is already being vetted for Australian government use to the protected level of security. The two data centres that are the secure ones are both in Sydney, one's in Eastern Creek, and I can't remember off the top of my head where the others are, and there are a couple of other subsidiary centres. So this is the same kind of facility that banks use, that other medical institutions use, that the Australian government uses already. As I say, we haven't seen the legislation yet. We haven't seen the source code yet. We haven't seen the plan yet.
Final question to you and John. Would you download it, Stilgarian?
I'm waiting to see.
You're waiting to see. John Coyne, would you download it?
You know what? I've got a young son with asthma, so I'm going to do the herd thing. And even if I have to risk a bit of my privacy, do so for the sake of people at risk.
Okay, John Coyne, thank you for your very erudite comments, and to you as well, Stilgarian. It was a fascinating chat. From my personal point of view, I think I'll probably wait until as much information is available, and then, you know, you'll decide to download then. We don't have to do it now, but it will be something we'll all have to think about next week.